Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't get a chance to welcome you at the beginning of service, so welcome to Grace. For those of you who are guests this morning, it's great to have you. We pray God's blessings on you, and we know that God has brought you here for a reason, and of course the biggest reason is so you can hear about Jesus. That's what we're all here for, in fact. We want to know Jesus more, don't we? You know, Easter is always such an incredible morning. I think, you know, as a pastor, the work up to Easter is well, it's pretty busy. Started about 6 weeks ago with Lent. They made me work twice a week instead of once a week for 6 weeks. So, and my pay was the same. So I don't know if that's, I don't understand that. But I'll tell you what, all the work is always worth it. Because when Easter comes, what a celebration. Knowing that, as Amy said, on Good Friday, Jesus died. To call it good, it seems so odd, but it was good because of what happened today. You know, all around the world, the people of God are gathering and rejoicing in that sure and certain hope of life after death, hope after hopelessness, and joy after sorrow. Today, Christians gather to give praise and honor and glory to our God and our Lord, who is no longer dead, but who lives now and forever. You know, in a way, Easter is like something hidden and then found. It's like an egg. That's a good analogy for today. It's like an egg that's been well hidden and then discovered by a child after they thought all the eggs had been found. Or it's like a gift that's been hidden by a loved one that's found at the moment it seemed like the birthday had actually been forgotten. It's a God-given gift wrapped in such a way that nobody recognizes it as a gift until it's unwrapped and suddenly revealed to be of priceless worth. Easter is like that, a grand and glorious surprise. And that's the way Jesus was. Nobody really knew him. Even though he walked and talked with them for years, and sure he had great wisdom and authority, his miracles were certainly, well, miraculous. And he lived and conveyed a remarkable peace that certainly left a great impression on people. And yet, even though extraordinary among people, something about Jesus was hidden. Peter, who confessed him to be the Messiah, the Son of the living God, didn't fully reveal, uncover what was hidden. Even Mary, who had given him birth and raised him, even she was mystified by the strange quality in Jesus that seemed to set him apart from others. But if there had been mystery in his living, it was only magnified in his dying. That day must have destroyed any thought that Jesus was a special gift from God. How could a man killed on a cross be a gift from God? If God had intended to make a gift of Jesus, those intentions must certainly have been thwarted by those who tortured and killed him. The powers of darkness swallowed him in a grave that all of us must face someday. And with his burial, any thought of God's plan was completely hidden, at least until 3 days later. In some ways, it's really too bad that we already know on Good Friday what happened 3 days later. On the days after Good Friday and before Easter, we go on with life. We prepare for our Easter family meal. I always find it interesting that the traditional family feast is ham. On, you know, Jesus was a Jew after all, right? Let that one sink in. You'll remember it this afternoon. But we go on. We get on with our Easter meal. We go out and buy all the stuff we need. We lay out our Easter clothes. Our kids argue and fight with us because they don't want to get into them. But we do that with the full knowledge that the tomb is already empty. It's too bad because it keeps us from experiencing the awfulness of those days the way the disciples and the friends of Jesus did. For them, the days after Jesus' resurrection weren't days of anticipation and preparation for a great celebration. They were days of darkness, despair because it appeared that Jesus was nothing more than a man. In fact, they went into hiding themselves because they wouldn't, so that they wouldn't be caught up by Jesus' enemies. This side of the resurrection, can we even begin to imagine how dark those days were for those who loved Jesus? But the stark contrast between their hopelessness after Good Friday and the glorious wonder as the angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" is what marks the joy of this Easter day. Only when you're certain that this man is dead and you will never see him again can you fully understand the great joy as he reappears from the grave. Only when you perceive the mourning of those who removed his broken and bloody body from the cross and hastily prepared it for burial in a borrowed tomb can you catch the glimpse of the emotions of the morning when he suddenly appears alive to the women and then the disciples. Shocked and amazed doesn't begin to express what they must have experienced. They didn't have the faintest idea what it meant, even though Jesus had told them time and time again. They had no idea what was going to happen next. It's that turnaround from sorrow to joy, from death to life, that gave them new eyes with which to see Jesus and a new heart with which to receive God's gift, who is Jesus. What was hidden has now been revealed. Although many things were still up in the air, it was clear that something had happened, that someone who would die, be buried, and return from the dead had power and authority that no one had ever shown. Something unheard of had happened. When death was beaten back, people had to sit up and listen. That first Easter made it clear that God had been present among them. Hidden, to be sure, but doing something that even though Jesus had told them, they never really expected. He was the long foretold Messiah, in whose life and death everything had been rearranged. If death no longer has the last say, your whole assessment of how the world functions has to change. And today's text says exactly that. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Through Christ's resurrection, we get a brand new view of things. Joined to his resurrection, as Paul says we are in our baptism, we gain a new perspective, a new power for living. Everything that once seemed true, it has to be discarded because a new truth has now been revealed. Through the resurrection of Christ, you see the future in terms of life, whereas before it pointed to death. If God brought Jesus back from the dead, and he did, then you can be sure that he will also bring you through the darkness of death into the same resurrection as Jesus. It's still true. Death remains a monster among us. But it has no ultimate say in what happens now, because your life is now hidden with Christ in God. As Paul says, when your life is now hidden with Christ in God, then the powers that protected him in death also protect you. Now that changes, or at least ought to change, everything for you. To be hidden and raised with Christ means that you really can set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You can set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You know, even though Easter has happened, you know, we still need the earthly things here on earth to sustain us. But now they look different. They have a different significance. Being joined to Christ in baptism makes it possible for us to set our hearts on things above while remaining here. See, that phrase doesn't mean you now have to live some kind of specially pious life devoted to some uber spirituality that somehow makes earthly things of no value. What it means is that you can now see your earthly possessions and surroundings for what they are. Now you know that these things can't give or take away your life. The one who raised Jesus from the dead governs all of life and death issues. The things on which you depend so much here are transient, and they come to you from God as a gift. A gift for you to take care of temporarily. And strangely, all of this is hidden in you. Hidden from those around you who are not hidden in Christ as you are. In the chapter before our text, Paul wrote this. He said that you were buried with Christ in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. See, that's what that simple little phrase, "your life is now hidden with Christ in God," is all about. Just as the resurrection is so amazing only when it's seen against the apparent finality of his death, so also your new life in Christ seems incredible because you still seem so bound up in sin, so inescapably confined to this earth in your thinking and living and your daily needs. We don't look any different than anybody else, but we are. This God-given wonder is really hard to grasp. It's really hard for grasp for you. It's really hard for me to grasp. Because we seem to be so much like we always were, even though we're hidden in Christ. In fact, it's as if you are a gift, wrapped in God in an almost unrecognizable package that when fully opened is a sign and token of his presence to the world. We said that about Christ in the beginning, and now we must see ourselves in the same way. When God hides your life in Christ in baptism, he leaves it wrapped in that virtually unrecognizable package of your flesh, flesh that is still troubled with sin and weakness and death. What we shall be in the resurrection has not yet appeared. What we want to be, as we set our hearts on things above, is certain, but not yet realized, because we seem so bound to the things below. What our victory will be when Christ, who is our life, appears, seems at present to be nothing more than a series of defeats as we sin every day on our journey toward the grave. When we experience each day, or what we experience each day, is so far from what we want to be or hope to be, that we would completely despair if it were not for a simple promise. I'd like you to read this with me. Natalie, read this with me. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Easter is a call to faith. Faith in the God who fulfilled his promise to raise Jesus Christ from the dead and who promises in the same way to raise us from the dead. But Easter is also more. It's a call to a new life in Christ right now. And this new life is symbolized by the cross of glory displayed this Easter morning. For those of you who have been here through this past Lent, we've been walking through different crosses that people have used throughout the centuries, the Anchor Cross, St. Andrew's Cross, Saltier Cross, the Cross Crosslet. Today, the cross is the cross of glory. And if you look at that picture, you note that the rays of the sun are seen behind the cross, but the sun itself is not yet visible. In the same way, your glorious future is hidden with Christ, who was crucified and is now risen. But we get glimpses. We get glimpses of that glorious future in its early coming. The rays flow from the unseen sun, which rises behind the cross. The resurrection of Jesus, that's your promise that you will not only be raised on the last day, but you are already raised. raised with him in your baptism. And in the faith which you live and the faith you trust in Christ each and every day, your present life hidden in him glows with a glory that is yet to be revealed in its fullness. And just as you're hidden in Christ, Christ is hidden in you. The risen one in whom your life is hidden shines out through your life for others. Not unlike the rays of the sun. They're not there for the sun's purpose or advantage. They're there for us, just as we are here for others. Through faith, your life, still so deeply encrusted with the appearance and weakness of trouble and sin of this world, can now be given over to Christ for his uses, for his purposes. And that's why we say that Easter is like something hidden and then found. It's God's life hidden in Christ, fully revealed in the resurrection, and found in us through baptism, so that we might be here for others. In other words, Easter is God unwrapping a package nobody really recognized as a gift until he unwrapped it, revealing in that moment that it is the greatest gift we could ever receive, we could ever hope for, and we are a gift to those we meet. Easter is God unwrapping your life and showing it as the hiding place of Christ, who guards you from the powers that would seek to destroy you in life and imprison you in death, but now empowers you to go forth in his name to serve and to love others for him. Easter is new life. Christ's life in you and your life made perfect in Christ. Easter is Christ breaking open the tomb of your life and raising you, giving you a new vision, a new hope, new deeds. Easter is the gift of an open tomb and a living Christ and a new you. Amen.